Grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are so glad to have all of you with us this morning. A special welcome to our visitors and guests and family of our baptismal child this morning. We're especially glad that y'all could be with us. Any of you who have questions about our church or would like to get the chance to know us better, you can look in the seat rack in front of you. We have Let's Get Acquainted cards. You can fill one out and place it in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. Members and visitors alike can submit prayer requests this way too. I would draw your attention to the inside cover of our bulletin. There we have a few announcements of upcoming events, and there's also a calendar of events for the coming week near the back. There are just a couple I would like to highlight this morning. Of course, this morning, we are especially excited to baptize Betsy DeLay, daughter of Scott and Avalee DeLay, and we're glad that their families and friends could be with us this morning. Also, I'd like to point out that this coming Saturday, First Presbyterian Church will be hosting the semi-annual meeting of Cherokee Presbytery. That's of our community of Presbyterian churches in Northwest Georgia. And there are plenty of volunteer opportunities still available. You can see from the sign-up sheet in the Commons, and also other opportunities to welcome and direct traffic. So if you would like to help us with this big event, please see me after worship or check out the newsletter for more details. Now I'd open it up to you. Are there any of you who have announcements to share with us this morning? Well, that's great. Thank you for sharing, Peggy. And thanks to all of you who've helped with campaign this past week, and especially to Peggy and Roger, who do so much. Are there others?
I just want to accent this June 25th ice cream party. It's going to be very different this year, not a swim party. It will be out at my son's barn in Mill Creek, and it's right on Mill Creek, so the kids can swim in the creek like old-fashioned church.
Thanks, Catherine. Are there others? One last announcement I'd call your attention to. This Wednesday we'll begin our monthly series of contemplative Taizé worship. It will be in the sanctuary at 5:30 on the second Wednesday of every month this summer. So we do hope you'll take that opportunity to join us for worship then. So it is with great excitement that we celebrate all God has done for us in Jesus Christ, that we celebrate the sacrament of baptism this morning, and all we have to look forward to in the coming months of ministry. So with that joy, let us worship God, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbor.
please stand for the call to worship? God the Creator calls us to worship. God the Son calls us to worship. God the Spirit calls us to worship.
The one who speaks through prophets and apostles, the one who gives us power to be more than we can imagine, the love and friendship united us, the still small voice inside us.
Let us worship God.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, show us the depths of your love through the word of your Son and the gift of your Spirit. Speak to us through our stories, songs, prayers, and silence. Transform us through peace, forgiveness, the love of community, and the promises of baptism. Be known to us here and empower us to follow the command of your Son, to go into the world as his disciples. We pray through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Now praying together. God of grace, love, and friendship, we confess that we have failed to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We ignore your teaching, step aside from your way, and follow idols of our own making. Have mercy on us, Lord. Forgive our sin and turn us towards you. Remake us into your disciples, that we may serve with joy, pray in peace, and worship you with our lives. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
You may be seated. And now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join us on the steps during our baptism. Good morning, Luke and Lucy. Can you say hi to Betsy? We're going to baptize her in just a minute. I'm going to need your help. When I ask you a question, do you think you can help me in answer? Yeah, okay, thanks, good. Hear these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hear also these words of Scripture. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Jesus Christ. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show us that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love and peace and justice. Let us remember with joy our own baptisms as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session of First Presbyterian Church, I present Elizabeth Gray DeLay, daughter of Scott and Avalee DeLay, for baptism.
Avalee and Scott, do you desire for Betsy to be baptized?
We do.
Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child? Do you?
We do.
Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world?
We do.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love?
We do.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you?
We will, with God's help.
Do we, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Betsy by word and deed with love and prayer, encouraging her to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church. Do we?
And this is for you, Luke and Lucy, and on behalf of all the children, all your friends in the church. Do you promise to care for Betsy and to be her friend? Do you promise to help her learn the stories of Jesus and to be a part of our church? Do you? You say, we do? Okay, good, thanks. Let us pray. We give you thanks, eternal God, for you nourish and sustain all things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your spirit moved over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. In the time of Noah, you destroyed evil by the waters of the flood, giving righteousness a new beginning. You led Israel out of slavery through the waters of the sea into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, Jesus was baptized by John and anointed with your Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, Christ set us free from sin and death and opened the way to eternal life. We thank you, O God, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. From it we are raised to share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Send your Spirit to move over this water, that it may be a fountain of deliverance and rebirth. Wash away the sin of all who are cleansed by it, raise them to new life, and engraft them to the body of Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them, that they may have the power to do your will and continue forever in the risen life of Christ. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be all praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Elizabeth Gray, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Betsy, for you, Jesus Christ has come. He has fought. He has suffered. For you, he entered the shadow of Gethsemane and the terror of Calvary. For you, he uttered the cry, "It is finished." And for you, he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and there he prays for you. And even though you do not know it yet, but in this way, the word of the gospel becomes true. We love him because he first loved us. Celebrating the sacrament and remembering with joy our own baptisms, we welcome Betsy into the family of faith, into the body of Christ, into the church of Jesus Christ. Now, as one church, let us stand together and say what we believe in the words of our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food, satisfy our longing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Listen for God's word. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. This is the word of the Lord.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Jesus says farewell to his disciples and charges them to follow him into the world. In the Gospel of Matthew, listen for God's word to you. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you, even to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy God, give us a full measure of your Spirit as we hear the words of your Son and follow him into the world. We pray in his name. Amen. Jesus says goodbye to his disciples. Goodbyes are always difficult, especially permanent ones. I have a ministry colleague who ends every phone call we have, "Bye for now." I think I like that. It means that whenever we talk again, we know we can pick up right where we left off. It means, well, we don't have to say goodbye and mean it. Sometimes it just sounds so permanent. Most of our goodbyes are really just bye for now. But think about it. What do you say, what do you mean when you say goodbye? And especially, what do you say when you say goodbye for good? If you had one last thing you could tell someone you love, or if you had one chance to articulate something that was of the utmost importance, what would you say? When Sir Isaac Newton was on his deathbed, he considered his life with great humility. He said, "I don't know what I may seem to the world, but as to myself, I seem to have been only a boy playing on the seashore and diverting myself now and again in finding a smoother pebble or a prettier shell than the ordinary, whilst the great ocean of truth lay all discovered before me." It's not bad poetry, who spent so much of his life articulating the theory of gravity and discovering calculus. So how would you sum up your life? How would you say goodbye? Sometimes we call these goodbyes famous last words, something worth remembering from the end of someone's life. They can be poetic. Emily Dickinson said in Meter, "I must go, for the fog is rising." Nabokov said, "A certain butterfly is already on the wing." They can be religious and prophetic. Stonewall Jackson said, "Let us cross over the river and rest under the shade of the trees." They can be simple. The painter Raphael said, "Happy." R&B legend Bo Diddley said, "Wow." They can be humorous. Groucho Marx said, "This is no way to live." Humphrey Bogart said, "I should have never switched from scotch to martinis." So what would you say? What defines you? What's so important that it can comprise your goodbye? I can't help but think of that man in Portland who died trying to step between two teenage girls and their assailant. His last words were, "Tell everyone on this train that I love them." Last words matter. Last words like these are memorable, too. They're memorable because we carry them with us and they affect the way we live. This was not a final goodbye, but I remember when my parents were getting ready to drop me off at college for the first time, and I had a conversation with my father. He is not a directive person, I think. My parents never pushed me too hard at anything because they realized that didn't really help. This means that the actual times my dad set me down to tell me something, I remembered. I remember his word of warning to me before college: "Don't ever get into a car with someone who has been drinking behind the wheel." Makes perfect sense. We can't disagree with it. I might have been fine going off to college without that word of warning, but I think we all know that not everyone is. I remember these words all these years later. The goodbyes we say, the impressions we give, etch themselves into our memories. They become part of our present lives too. They still speak to us. So today, Jesus says goodbye to his disciples, sending them out into the world to join in his mission. And we assume that since this is the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, these words have been well weighed and scrutinized like a valuable heirloom that's being passed on to another generation. There are words of power that still speak to us today. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And remember, I am with you even to the end of the age." These are important words. We call them the Great Commission. you've ever been on a committee that has been put together on a church mission statement, part of your discussion has included this bit of scripture. It's the church's job description, basically, to go out into the world and make disciples. If we take Jesus' last words seriously, this is an urgent concern. These are words that have inspired heroic efforts for people all over the world to cover every corner of the map with the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are last words that inspired people like the scientist and theologian Albert Schweitzer to give up a brilliant medical career and scholastic fame to go treat disease in the Congo. These last words sent the runner Eric Little away from the pursuit of Olympic gold into a prison camp in eastern China. These aren't words to keep us sitting still for long. When we hear them, we're meant to go and rush out of the doors of the church like an invading army. Part of our work here at the church is to tell stories like these so that we can be encouraged to go out and join in that work. We are a part of the communion of saints, which means we share a story and an identity with Christ and with these people who've done amazing things and gone to great lengths to spread the gospel, this important message that Jesus himself told us to spread with his last precious words, go. So why are we still sitting here? Well, we're sitting here for the result of people who took these words seriously. We're sitting here because if you drive around Dalton, there are an awful lot of church steeples, and there doesn't seem like there's that much more to do. We're sitting here because if you ask what people in the know say, 2/3 of Christians now live in the global south, and in 10 years there will be more Christians in both Nigeria and China than in the United States. We're sitting here because this work has been going on for a long time, and we wonder if the old way of going out into the world and preaching and teaching and spreading the gospel even matters anymore. Jesus called 12 disciples together and taught them for years to send them out in the world so they could plant churches, and now we have churches. What does Jesus want to do with a bunch of people like us, students and educators, lawyers, retirees, and carpet company employees? What does he want to do with mothers and fathers, sons and daughters like us? I'm sure that we want to see the gospel, the hope, the grace of Jesus Christ spread throughout creation. But sometimes in our own lives it meets some unpleasant realities. It meets cancer and unemployment and divorce. Sometimes it meets the demands of a report due at work or a paper due at school. It meets the reality of childcare responsibilities and young parenthood. It meets mortgages and health insurance and that weird sound that your car keeps making that you haven't had time to get looked at yet. Jesus doesn't just call disciples. He calls disciples with jobs and careers and relationships and problems too. So what does he want for us? What gets lost in this Great Commission sometimes, what gets lost in this charge to go out into the world, is the whole picture, the whole entirety of it. Yes, Jesus says go out into the world and makes disciples, but he doesn't begin that way. He begins, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, this all belongs to me, and I am the Lord of it. He recalls the words of the theologian Abraham Kuyper, who says, there is not one square inch of creation about which Jesus Christ does not say, mine. This means that when Jesus calls us out into the world, he calls us out into a world that is already his. So maybe we feel a little bit better about our chances in it. And he doesn't stop there either. He doesn't just say, go out into the world and make disciples and leave it at that. He promises his presence too. I will be with you even to the end of the age. It's not goodbye. It's bye for now. We're not doing this work on our own. We're joining in the God who is at work in the world, present by the power of his Spirit. We're joining something that is bigger than any of us could imagine on our own. We are joining God's restoration of creation, and God will be with us the whole time. So I think the mistake that we sometimes make or the ways that we become discouraged is actually that we know the story of the apostles. We know all the places they went and the churches they started and the powerful preaching and the miraculous healing that seems so far away from what we do with our everyday lives. We think, these words are for them, not for us, thank God. It's hard to remember that despite the power of Jesus preaching and his healing and his death and resurrection, that while they were up on that mountaintop together one last time as Jesus spoke, some worshiped, but some doubted. After all that, some still doubted. Jesus sent those people too. Jesus sent this group of 11 illiterate, uneducated Galilean peasants, carpenters, fishermen, and a tax collector into the world with nothing but a few words about God. And they transformed everything. If they were just to be left on their own, we might have a few more doubters among us, too. We might wonder about the prospect of these 11 going out into the world and making a real difference. But what allows Jesus to commission these disciples, what sends them out into the world, is the wholeness of this promise. That the world and everything in it belongs to Jesus. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. And that he will be with us wherever we go. It's the same thing he says to us now. It's the same thing he said to that child we cradled in our arms and promised to raise in the faith. Because she is a part of God's redemption of creation too. Here's the last bit of it. We know that we need God's promises to do these wonderful things we have been called to do. And the great gift that Jesus gives his disciples, though, what they actually need from him, in addition to his assurance and his presence, is the mission itself. They need something that can transform the world because they were created with a purpose, and it is their life's work to discover that purpose in themselves. The Great Commission isn't just a charge. It's a gift. Jesus has given us our life's work. David Brooks of the New York Times wrote a column this week that explored what billionaire philanthropists are doing with their money these days. It's an opportunity for all of us to reflect with unlimited resources and time. How would I spend my life? What gift would I leave to the world? Brooks writes a lot about the concern he has for the disintegration of communities and the loss of virtue across the country. And so he says that what he would do is build collectives of people who would meet together once a week to share and discuss life. People in these communities would go on retreats and celebrate life events together. They would practice discernment for big decisions in each other's lives. They would help young people learn how to navigate life's challenges and develop community and give purpose and direction to life. They would effect personal transformation of the heart by nurturing relationships, of the hands by providing opportunities for service, of the mind by reflecting on the great wisdom of human history, and of the soul by growing into a sense of life's purpose. What Brooks has done basically is reverse engineer a church. The world is hungry for God and the Spirit. The world is hungry for meaning and purpose too. And this is what Jesus gives us. He gives us all of himself. Not just his life, but his goals and his dreams and his animating purpose. He puts his life in our hands, which means he puts his work in our hands too. He makes it possible that ordinary people can live lives of extraordinary meaning and purpose because as a church, he gives us his mission. Jesus chooses his last words carefully so that we'll remember them. And the thing is, and maybe we can remember this from the very beginning of it all, God's word doesn't stop talking. God's word is eternal. God's word creates, even and especially when that word is go. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated. In response to God's word, in response to Jesus' call to go out into the world, let us return to God, our tithes and our offerings. You may be seated. Before we pray, are there any requests or joys or concerns to share this morning?
Yes.
Okay. What's his name, Laura? Thank you for saying. What's his name, Laura?
John.
Okay. Others? Yes, Catherine. Yeah, happy to see Anne, certainly. Are there others? Let us join together in prayer. Holy and gracious God, We return our gifts to you this day, trusting that in your hands they may accomplish more than we can imagine. We thank you for this opportunity to give and to join in your work of redemption. We thank you for creating us and gathering us in this community that shares good news and follows you into the world. We thank you for the purpose of your mission, which animates our life together, builds us as a community, and strengthens us in hope. We pray that through this place, through the work of our hands and through our gifts, others might join you and so grow into the image of your Son. Lord, in your mercy. God, we remember those you have called us to go out into the world and serve. For families around Joanne Lewis Park who receive food and books and a welcome from the community. For our neighbors at Blue Ridge Elementary School as they prepare for another year of teaching and nurturing children. For children and young people at Camp AIM, for their community and their healing. For patients at the Deo Clinic who receive care through loving hands. God, we pray that you continue to teach us how to serve and how to love others as you have loved us. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we remember through the stories of Jesus and his disciples that your redemption does not just come in great events, but small joys. Not just in the miracle, but in the mundane. Not just one day of the week, but every day. And so we thank you for the small tasks you have entrusted to us. For hosting Cherokee Presbytery, we thank you for the many who are preparing food and moving furniture and offering a welcome so that churches throughout Northwest Georgia may continue the work of following you. We thank you for our stated clerk, Nikki McMillan, and ask that you be present in her ministry. We pray for Robert Smalley and his work as moderator, for wisdom and discernment. And for all in our church who join in work greater than we can do as individuals or individual congregations. Lord, in your mercy. God, we remember the great blessings we have received from you, for the children of our church whom you have given us to teach and nurture, for Betsy as she receives your Spirit and grows into your disciple, for her parents, Scott and Avalee, and for family and friends as they surround Betsy with love and prayer, for teachers and volunteers, and for all who give a piece of themselves so that others might grow in faith. Lord, in your mercy. God, we remember people in all stages of life, those who are young and look for your guidance and care as they explore the world in new ways, and those who are older and want to know your closeness and presence. We pray for those in our community in need of that presence, those who are sick, those who are recovering. We thank you for John's recovery. We thank you for Anne's presence with us here today. We pray that you would be with all those we remember in the silence of our hearts in need of your comfort and the healing of your Holy Spirit. We pray for those in our community who are grieving or doubting or searching. We pray that you would fulfill the promise you made for your disciples and by your Spirit Remain with us wherever we are. Lord, in your mercy. These and all our prayers we offer through Christ our Lord, who teaches us to pray as he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ our Lord. Go out into the world, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself will be with you. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.